Jimmy John's America's number one sandwich delivery, fast Ed speaking. I'm on my way.
I'm in the backyard here, Ed.
Wow, you are fast.
Yes, sir, freaky fast and freaky good, but I gotta say, I've never delivered to a dude in a doghouse.
Well, I'm definitely in the doghouse.
I thought in the doghouse was just an expression, a figure of speech.
Well, the doghouse is a very real place.
How long are you condemned to your canine quarters?
Too soon to tell, but on the bright side.
The doghouse has a bright side?
Yeah, the wife can't throw a lap this far.
Oh, I guess she's been working out.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, freaky fast, freaky fresh.
You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game ticket from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at ticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Throws it up in the air, says a prayer, and Janice is on the top! Oh, please! What a cat! That's insane!
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
Reach the eye.
Get those back.
So I think that's the logical explanation.
Let's just, you know, say that didn't happen.
It was a return to greatness. It was a return to form.
It's crazy. And he just kind of flew under the radar.
Get this out there so I sound good on Cheesehead Radio.
Yeah.
No negativity allowed, sir.
So I think that's actually going to be really exciting to watch. I don't think there's anything positive we can say. There's a lot.
Oh, you were looking for positive. Yeah.
I guess that's what I meant. Positive, I think.
Well, good evening, Packer fans, and welcome to another episode of Cheesehead Radio. Your hosts tonight, as usual, are the effervescent C.D. Angeli of PackersTalk.com and Cheesehead TV, the amazing Jamie Snowden of Cheesehead TV, and myself, Jersey Al of Cheesehead TV and PackersTalk.com. Our guest tonight will be Rob Domofsky, one of our favorite guests of ESPN NFL Nation. As you probably know, sponsoring the Packers Talk Network this year are the fine folks at Ticket King. They've been selling Packers, Badgers, and other tickets in Wisconsin for just short of 25 years. And we have a special deal going. All listeners of PackersTalk.com podcasts and readers can get a 10% discount on Packers tickets by putting in the code PackersTalk, all one word, PackersTalk. That deal is going to be active until the day of the Giants game, so it gives you approximately 10 or 11 days where you can still get in there and get yourself a nice discount and save some money on Packers tickets. Be sure to visit theticketking.com. And now that we've taken care of business, it is time for the Packers News.
Packers News.
That collective exhale you might have heard last Sunday around 1:30 p.m. Central was Packer Nation feeling that they could finally relax as the ghost of Aaron Rodgers' past once again appeared to reside at Lambeau Field.
And then the second half happened. Now, the Packers' defense went soft, and the offense could not sustain drives long enough to kill as much clock as Mike McCarthy would have liked. The end result was a 7-point win that got all too close for comfort in the last 5 minutes.
Despite the sluggish finish, it does appear that the old Aaron Rodgers has returned. In fact, according to TJ Lang, Rodgers said as much himself. After his fourth touchdown pass in the first half, Rodgers excitedly headbutted Lang and screamed, "I'm back," into Lang's face.
Now on the other side of the ball, the Packers secondary once again let an opposing wide receiver have a career day against them. This time it was Marvin Jones, who was able to find the holes in the Packers' zone coverage with relative ease.
Thank goodness for the Packers' Week 4 bye, something we all groaned about when it was first announced. As it works out, it likely means Clay Matthews and Morgan Burnett will not have to miss another game. What it will mean for Dayton Jones, Latroy Guyon, and Sam Shields remains to be seen.
Now, there is serious concern, however, for Sam Shields, who has now suffered 4 concussions in his 6 seasons in the NFL. As reported by Rob Domofsky, our guest tonight, Shields was sent to an outside concussion specialist to help determine the severity of the injury.
An unfortunate consequence for those more seriously injured Packers is that they are not allowed to go home for the week like other more healthy players can. They have to stay in Green Bay to work with the trainers and continue getting treatment.
Now, that's not to say they don't try to get out of it. McCarthy mentioned in his press conference how the injured players all claim to feel great if you ask them, but the Packers let the doctors make the official diagnosis.
And that was your Packers news for the week. Now it's time for your
Packer Tweets from Packer Tweets.
Okay, Fox's Charles Davis made many a Packer fan do a double take when he kept referring to Nick Barnett making plays on the field. Now, we know Nick and his nightclub have been out of Green Bay for quite a while, but the Twitterverse had quite a bit of fun referring to other long-forgotten players appearing on the field. Oz Cheese had noted the second-half defensive decline with this gem. Nick Barnett still missing tackles for the Packers.
As former Packer quarterback Doug Peterson makes a solid go as head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles this season, the Packer rancher waxed poetic on the directionally proportional relationship between your success as a quarterback and your coaching ability. If Doug Peterson is a good coach, it stands to reason that Brett Favre would be the greatest coach in the history of any sport anywhere.
That is, until he retires. Going with the redemption theme of our show's title, Aaron Rodgers didn't just tell us to relax or give us the shh last week. What he did do, though, is summed up by our friend Kevin Seifert, who said, "Spicy, annoyed Aaron Rodgers appeared today in Green Bay, which is the best Aaron Rodgers."
And for our final tweet, we give it up to the tweets inspired by one of our favorite former Packers. Yes, even more so than Nick Barnett. Tom Crabtree at It's Crab asked his followers to make a meme of what they thought best summed up his career. Kind of like asking someone to Photoshop something for you. He might not have gotten exactly what he expected. Slidepiece 37 offered a picture of Tom in the middle of a dumpster fire with the tagline, "Tom Crabtree. Really, he used to be a football player." Kevin Mekesh sported a picture of Tom with a dopey expression in the caption, "Congrats on having 10-ish receptions for your entire career." And Thompson underscore 1226 posted a picture of a mustachioed Crabtree and highlighted it with 22 receptions, 16 tackles, one Super Bowl ring, and a better mustache than Aaron Rodgers.
As always, Tom took everything with a good-hearted laugh, which makes him one of our favorite tweets. And that exchange was definitely this week's Cheesehead Radio Tweet of the Week.
Tweet of the Week.
The memes that people made for Crabtree really are fantastic. If you haven't seen them all, you really should take a look. And I think some, like, Sporting News or somebody did a little article about it. It was pretty funny.
Is there an official hashtag?
Probably not, but it all started because...
Just check his timeline, I guess.
If you just check his timeline, because he retweeted a lot of the good ones. It all started because, I forget who, but somebody, there was a meme of, you know, some actual going to Hall of Famer or just, you know, iconic player, you know, like 2,000 receptions or something like that. And it has them, like, running across the field and, like, flames behind them and all this stuff. And Tom said, "Wonder what mine would look like." And so people had a lot of fun with it. Makes me, you know, very happy that he's still on Twitter. So he's not playing for us, but we can at least follow him for that delight.
Yeah, he's always entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really good at destroying idiots on Twitter, too.
Yes, he is. And there's a lot of those on Twitter for some reason.
Yeah. So he's doing society a favor, without a doubt. So.
God's work.
Public service.
Oh, please, yes.
Well, let's review this past game. We had a Packers win over the Detroit Lions. If they would have just ended the game at the end of the first half, I think everyone in Green Bay would be really, really happy right now. Unfortunately, they chose to play the rest of the game, which made us have a little bit of doubts, but Packers are 2-1. They're doing okay in the division. Bye week coming up. Where are you at right now? Positive, negative, really good, really bad, or somewhere in between?
Jamie, you take it first.
I'm somewhere in between. I feel like after that game, I was not as negative as a lot of people were. I spent the last 15 minutes of the Cheesehead TV live blog going like, "No, I don't understand what you guys are so upset about the second half, like the offense. I don't get it because people are freaking out." But clearly there's some defensive holes, and by some I mean just one giant hole and like some people floating around in it. I feel like if the Packers can get healthy, I mean, thank God for this bye week, then hopefully those things will be, you know, shored up a little bit. I don't think the offensive problems are solved, but it feels a lot better knowing that somewhere underneath there is the real Aaron Rodgers, and Jordy is working his way back. So I feel good going into the season. I feel like that's a good third week of the season game. It's not a good 15th week of the season game, but a third week of the season.
I'm
just in the middle.
Yeah, I'm fairly positive. I attribute the second half malaise to a couple of things. I mean, the offense really didn't have the ball much at all, if you have guys dropping passes on third down that would have been first down, that doesn't help you at all, and those type of things. So I'm not so worried about the offense, the second half. The defense, no doubt, they went a little soft. They started playing more zone, and they were definitely playing to the score, and we've all seen what happens when you play to the score, and that's exactly what happened. Luckily, Detroit wasn't able to come all the way back, and we got to stop when we needed it. But overall, the important thing was just seeing that excitement again at Lambeau Field, from the offense. Rodgers throwing touchdown passes, music playing after four touchdowns, the fan excitement, everybody feeling good, Rodgers smiling, headbutting his linemen, haven't seen that in a long time. They needed a feel-good half at very least, and they got it. So I'm very happy to see that. And overall, I think that's a good sign moving forward.
I think the thing that bothered me was actually something we just read in the news. Aaron Rodgers having to yell, "I'm back." It's as if now he's admitting, "Oh, wait, I was gone." Aaron Rodgers always seems to have quite a bit of bravado and confidence, and gets that real angry look when he gets too much criticism. But for him to actually shout out, "I'm back, you weren't injured, what's going on?" So it's kind of an admission of guilt, perhaps, that he has been playing at a low level and that he was aware of it. And maybe some of the excuses that were being made weren't quite there. But overall, I think – go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I thought you were done. Go ahead.
Oh, no, overall. No, never. Overall, I think the Packers – and Aaron Rodgers, I think you saw them come back. They show they have the ability. We need to see it consistently for 60 minutes, or at least consistently enough to not let a lead disappear, because that, unfortunately, I think I predicted it. I think I said right at the start of the second half, I said, I bet you're going to have some conservative play calling, and this game will get really close. And it happened. And, usually people yell at me and says, quit being so negative. And, nobody did. They're like, yeah.
I know somebody, I forgot who it was now. It was some NFL analyst tweeted something about, at the start of the second half, I don't think the Packers are going to go into turtle mode. And I just had to tweet him back and say, do your homework, dude. You know who you're dealing with here. But that thing about the I'm back, that what I found interesting about that is that I kind of figure that Rodgers isn't too pleased that Lang let that out, because that definitely shows a vulnerability that Rodgers probably doesn't like to show about himself, or maybe that he had some self-doubts or lack of confidence, and be sure he doesn't want anyone to know that. And I saw some quote from him from a press conference saying, nobody gives a you-know-what about the offense being back, which I thought was maybe a little bit testy. So I don't think he liked that very much.
Yeah, I didn't. Actually, when I heard that quote, my first thought was kind of the bravado. Everything's amazing. Rodgers was like, of course he thinks he's back. Of course we're halfway in a game and everything's perfect again. And I didn't actually even frame it in my mind about the way of wait, that really does mean that he's admitting he wasn't back. And that's just, it's so interesting when you think about it like that, because there's so many discussions in the last year, and then, the footwork stuff that was going on dissecting last week, I was so interested in me and was like, no, you really weren't here. You agree with us all. That's actually a side of Rodgers I like to see, because I feel like we don't get to see that personable side of him that often.
Well, I know somebody who does get to see Aaron Rodgers a lot more than we do, and that would be our guest for tonight.
tonight's special guest, Rob Domofsky, from NFL Nation at ESPN.
I had a very special request for a Springsteen intro for you, Rob. I hope you don't mind.
I appreciate it. I'm guessing that was Al. Yeah, I like it, buddy.
Now, was that really for you or was that really for Al? Because, you know, he's been bugging me to call Springsteen for everything lately.
Yeah, it was definitely for Rob, though. Yeah.
Okay. I'll believe it. Rob, good to have you back with us. A long time no see. Glad to see you're doing as well as you're doing and seeing your face all over the place. Start out just talking a little bit about this game. Your reflections, we were just kind of speaking about the whole Aaron Rodgers, I'm back, implying he's gone.
Yeah.
Just give us a little overview on your vision of Aaron Rodgers and where his head is at. And is this team back, or are you still kind of hedging your bets?
Well, CD, you know, as that first half was unfolding, and obviously he was playing lights out and the offense was clicking, I thought to myself, man, he's going to walk to that podium and he's going to tell us all where to stick it, right? You know, because of the criticism and questioning and then he didn't do it. Like, his press conference was really subdued, and you know, maybe it's because they didn't quite, you know, finish the thing off like they wanted to, or the second half didn't go you know, the way that the first half did, or maybe it's because he, you know, he realizes that he better watch himself, because, you know, maybe they're not all the way back as an offense. I mean, they look good, but hey, it was the Lions. You know, you can always say that. So I'm very curious to see, you know, how this offense evolves, how the quarterback and the receivers sort of react to the ebb and flow of a season. Because there were a lot of guys who, you know, were pretty, I don't want to say defiant about their struggles, but were at least, you know, trying to put on the face that, you know, hey, this isn't a carryover from last season, and these first two games were just these two games, and anybody trying to draw a parallel to their struggles from 2015, you know, was making a loose assumption. But I'm not sure that I believe that. So it'll be very interesting to see how they react going forward.
Now, this is a more generalized question, Robin. As you know, I'm the biggest pot stirrer on Twitter, so I need to continue that legacy.
He's got a giant
at
ladle.
Age 30. Well, yes. Aaron Rodgers is 32 going on 33.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The reality is he's probably as good today as he's ever going to be. And, you know, not everyone's Tom Brady. Not everyone's going to be 38
right,
and still playing at a relatively high level. How do you see this playing out of his? Because he's had this whole chip on his shoulder thing, and then he comes back. You know, then he goes off and he comes back. He's not going to be able to do that and be able to come back to MVP Aaron Rodgers levels for the rest of his career. How do you see this playing out as he ages?
Well, that's a great question. I will say this, that Brett Favre, whether we want to admit it or not, had probably his second, third, fourth best season at age, 40 in 2009 with Minnesota. I believe he was 40 or had turned 40 halfway through that season. Brett Favre did in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that, you know, Rodgers is going to play that way, you know, at age 37, 8, 9, whatever, 40. But it's not out of the question that he could, that a quarterback of his supreme talent can play well, you know, at that advanced age. I mean, you know, Favre's best seasons in Green Bay were probably 95, 6, 7, and 2007. So there was, you know, there was a long stretch between 97 and 07 where Favre, you know, certainly played well, but also had his struggles also, you know, in there too. So, I'm not, you know, here's the thing I wonder, and this is no knock on Mike McCarthy. This is no knock on Ted Thompson, no knock on Rodgers himself. But at some point, if this trio stays together for, you know, the duration, you wonder if the lack of new blood, so to speak, will keep things, you know, from progressing. I mean, you think about Favre, that 2007 season was Mike McCarthy's second season as head coach. You know, he had become maybe a little bit stale under Mike Sherman, and Mike McCarthy comes in, and you know, in 2005, Favre throws what, 29 interceptions in Sherman's last year, and the next year, what does McCarthy do? But he cuts that thing. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I think it was 13. I mean, he cut that thing more than in half, and
right.
You know, they end up finishing 8-8, and the next year they sort of take off. And again, I'm not advocating that. You know, that they need, you know, new blood or a new coach or any of that. But you just never know what could happen over the course of someone's career. And, you know, later in Rodgers' career, it's possible that circumstances would allow him to have a Favre-like season late in his career. Like Brett, I would say Brett had two of them, 07 and 09.
All right. Jersey Al.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, over on the defensive side of the ball, obviously Packers were missing a bunch of starters, which meant that a lot of young, inexperienced players saw meaningful snaps against the Lions. Who stood out to you, good or bad, among those guys?
Well, Al, that's a great point. And I think that it could end up helping them in the long run, that guys like Kyler Fackrell and Kentrell Bryce and Josh Hawkins – and, you know, you can keep going on and on down the list, played, you know, a ton of snaps. I got to admit, you know, I was not super high on Fackrell, both when they drafted him and watching him in training camp. I just didn't see it. And then the lights started to come on late in the preseason, and I think he's actually been pretty good. He was decent in his short stint of, I think he had 7 snaps against Minnesota. And then he had like 30 something the other day against Detroit, and then I thought he really jumped out. So he was a pleasant surprise, and Kentrell Bryce. I mean, this is a guy that in training camp had played as well as anybody in that secondary. And I mean, I don't want to say they didn't miss Morgan Burnett, but they really didn't miss Morgan Burnett back there. On the flip side, Josh Hawkins struggled a little bit. But again, this is great experience because, you know, what happens if they have a season like 2010 where, you know, by the end of the year, there's 15 guys on injured reserve. Well, if for whatever reason this season went that way, you could still function defensively because of all these guys, you know, Brian Price too on the defensive line. That got some incredibly meaningful, valuable snaps in real games early in the season. So, I mean, yes, Clay Matthews is going to come back. Dayton Jones, LaTroy Guyon, those guys are all going to come back and probably come back to the Giants game after the bye. But, you know, at some point there's going to be other guys that drop out, and these guys already know they can do it. And, you know, that was that thing. I keep going back to 2010 because, you know, everyone's talking about how many injuries they had. And they did. They had, you know, from a quantity standpoint, they did. But from a quality standpoint, you know, there wasn't really a big drop-off. And I think this could be the same kind of situation if they are put into if it becomes a depth contest, their depth looks pretty good right now.
Yeah, can't do anything but help getting these guys some snaps.
Okay, Rob. The Packers won. They finally saw their offense get in a groove on the first half on Sunday. Yet, if you casually check the blogs and Twitter, I'm sure you're common. I'm sure most people got the impression the Packers lost. The offensive performance in the second half left a lot of fans feeling like the Packers just went in a rut, took their foot off the gas. What was your reaction to the Packers offense this second half?
Well, Jamie, it's a good question. You know, there were two things. One, there were a couple of drops that were critical. I think Trevor Davis had one that really could have extended the drive. And yeah, I get it. I understand that, you know, they weren't great in the second half. But two things. One, they were able to run the clock out at the end, which they couldn't do against Jacksonville. Remember, they had to, you know, they couldn't get a first down, and Jacksonville ends up getting the ball back, and the Packers defense has to come up with a fourth and one stop. That this time they ran it out, and I think that's a big important step for this offense. And the second thing is, I don't care who you are. I think there's a tendency in anything, any sport, when you get, you know, a big lead. What was it? At one point, what was it? 31-3 at one point, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I think it's hard mentally to stay in it and not take your foot off the gas and. You know, so maybe it's a good lesson that this happened early in the season. and, you know, that they can sort of look at it and say, yeah, well, we did take our foot off the gas. And now, you know, next time we get a big lead, we'll do what we did against Chicago last year or 2 years ago. I guess it was 2 years ago when it was 55-14. You know, they blew them out. They had that stretch of games in 2014 where they just kept blowing people out. It was all at home, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, they're still finding themselves a little bit, but I still say that there's probably more to be encouraged about than discouraged about from that performance.
Okay, great. Thanks. CD?
All right. Can you hear me now?
We got
you.
Okay, good. My mic was being a little funny. Rob, a barely known wide receiver has gashed the Packers defense for yet another career day. Now, Personally, this is just me. I give that up. I'm fine with that. If we're controlling the running game, hey, go ahead and, you know, we'll let one guy get a bunch of, you know, whatever, he can get his 200 yards, but guess what? We'll win the game. That's my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. But the question has to be why Dom Capers' defenses always seem to let one wideout play on Madden rookie level every week.
I love that Madden rookie level. That's awesome. It's funny that just because my kids both play Madden and I see it all the time.
Right.
So it's a great question. I would love to know the list of all-time career or single game performances against the Packers defense by receivers. How many of, say, the top 5 or 10 came in the Dom Capers era since 2009? I mean, I can think, what, Anquan Boldin, didn't he had a huge game against them?
Right.
He had a 200-yard game. Calvin Johnson, right, had one. Julio Jones, if I'm not mistaken, had one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously Marvin Jones. Diggs came close. It's a great point. One, I think they've never been great. They've never, ever been a great zone coverage team for whatever reason under Capers. They just never have. This year, I think Demarius Randle's a really good player, I still think he's better suited to play inside as opposed to outside. We saw all offseason in the mini camps and OTAs and then even in training camp that Randle was playing more in the slot than he was outside, and Rollins was playing outside. Now, obviously, Shields' injury, concussion, threw this whole thing out of whack, but also Rollins' struggles early took him out of the mix a little bit and they ended up going with Gunter more, and, you know, some combination of it. So, you know, I think Randle is just he's not a pure outside one-on-one cover guy. I think he's a really good player. I think he has a chance to be a great interior player, a guy who can blitz, can play the run, can cover bigger receivers inside, smaller receivers inside. But I don't think his game is suited necessarily to play the over-the-top stuff. So that's what I would attribute these last two performances against. I do think that, you know, it's a little bit like we talked about offensively where, you know, you have a great half and then a not-so-good half. I don't know in this day and age in the NFL that you can have everything. They've obviously committed to a run defense that looks pretty good, but you know, I just don't know if you can be. Is there anybody that's a complete team anymore? I don't know that there is. And you know, not that you want to give up something, but at some point you have to give up a little bit. They clearly go for stopping the run, pressuring the quarterback, and trying to get takeaways. That's the Dom Capers MO defensively. And you know, if that leaves breakdowns down the field, then you know, I guess that's what they're willing to live with.
It just matters if you get gashed on it or not.
Right.
Jersey Al.
Yes. All right. After a fantastic debut in the final preseason game, our punter, Jacob Shrum, has looked less than stellar since. Now, as the punting aficionado that you are, I must ask, have the Packers made a mess of their punting situation once again?
It sure looks like it, Al.
Yeah.
It has that John Ryan, Derek Frost
sure does.
Feel to it. So they cut John Ryan the week of the regular season opener in 2006, if I'm not mistaken. And they bring Derek Frost in and he lasts 12 games and doesn't kick the ball very well. And it sort of sent them on this odyssey to try to eventually find their way to Tim Massey, who punted for 6 years from 2010 to to 15. And look, Tim didn't have a very good year last year. Actually, I take that back. Tim had a really poor game in two poor games. One in the weather game against the Bears here on Thanksgiving, and two in the perfect conditions in the playoff game at Arizona. People forget that Tim Mastay was the special teams game ball winner for the playoff game against Washington. Let's let that sink in for a second. He was the special teams game ball winner. If they end that season right there, let's say they lose that game and it has nothing to do with Tim Mastay, he's probably still the punter, right? I mean, because he goes out and
they
has a poor performance.
They probably don't bring
somebody in. Right, yeah. I mean, but he ends on that game, he's probably their punter right now. And now he's not in the league. So it's obviously very fickle. I actually thought he kicked the ball pretty well in the preseason. I was actually surprised when they made this move, as I think a lot of people were. I was not surprised, you know, by the competition and all that. But this guy looks to me, you know, you look at his numbers last year, and they were worse than Tim's, and this guy kicked in Tampa. So, I don't know. He went out, and, boy, you're right, he killed it in Kansas City. He was pretty good in Jacksonville, and, you know, the last punt, and we had a couple shaky ones, I think, in Minnesota, and then this past game wasn't very good. Now, obviously, the snap, you know, that Brett sent over his head, you got to give him a pass on that one. But sure. You do wonder if, you know, around Thanksgiving, this guy's still the punter or not.
Yeah.
Okay, Rob, the Packers brought four people in to work out over the bye week or bringing them in. They have an open practice squad spot. They have to make that roster move in 2 weeks after week five for Pinnell. What kind of roster moves do you see on the horizon?
That's a great question, Jamie. Obviously, they'll get Mike Pinnell back on the field after the Giants game. His 4-game suspension will be up. That, you know, I think he had a really, really good training camp, really good preseason. So, you know, they'll definitely get him there. It's interesting that they worked out, three of those four guys are defensive tackles, if I'm not mistaken. I'll be perfectly honest with you, I've only heard of one of them, the guy who played for the Falcons for two games in 2015. It's funny, as a side note, when I always get those workout things, I always end up Googling most of the names because I've never heard of most of them, and just seeing if anybody jumps off the page. But, you know, I think, you know, they're still deep in a couple spots. They're still deep in the secondary if everybody's healthy, especially at safety. But, you know, if Jared Cook's going to be out for any number of games, and he's definitely going to miss some games, you know, source told me could be one game, could be six games. I don't know that you feel great about going into any significant stretch with Richard Rodgers and Justin Perillo as your only two tight ends. Mike McCarthy always says you never want to be one injury away from being out of a package. Well, we saw that the two tight end package was a big part of their plan against Detroit. And, you know, if that continues going forward and one of those guys is hurt, well, now all of a sudden you're out of two tight ends. So they have the practice squad guy, Devin, I'm not even sure I know how to say his last name. Could you stay? I'm not sure how you say it.
Good luck.
We've seen him make a couple of good catches in the limited opportunity we've seen in practice, but this is a guy who's basically a converted receiver, so I'm not sure he's ready to step in and play. So it sort of depends on the timetable on Jared Cook, what they do there. You know, certainly they're heavy at receiver, and Jeff Janis should be able to play without that club after the bye week. So I'll be curious to see if they actually end up integrating him into the offense. I mean, heck, they didn't even play Jared Aberderis a snap on offense. So, you know, I think they're probably okay. But defensively, it's going to be interesting to see what they do when Pinnell comes back, when Demetrius Goodson comes back from his suspension. They're so deep in the secondary that, you know, who knows what will happen there. But, you know, I think they're probably in pretty good shape, especially if McCarthy's right and Matthews, Jones, Guyon, and Burnett are healthy after the bye. They're actually probably in okay shape right now.
Okay, thanks. CD?
You know, there's a lot of websites now, Rob, that do some really, really good jobs with film study. And they'll put, you know, little clips on there, and people, even if amateurs, will do a really, really nice job analyzing it. One of my favorite ones came out of the Lions blogosphere this week. It was entitled, How the Packers Get Away with Constant Holding Against the Lions. And it literally was an entire page of, yeah, it's pretty good. Film study showing, look at this set of rules for the Packers and how the, you know, Vikings get called for and the Packers don't. Now, the Packers were apparently admitted beneficiaries of some favorable calls in week one. Mm. Now you have this, which, you know, may just be sour grapes coming from Detroit. But are you sensing issues with the officiating this year in general? And are the Packers kind of becoming beneficiaries of that?
Was this, CD, was it, were they talking about holding as far as the Packers' offensive line or defensive backs holding receivers?
What
were they? Offensive line. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't, to the issue of the overall officiating, I don't know that it's any worse or more egregious or more out, you know, more obvious than in the past years. I mean, I think every year we go, you know, through games and there's blown calls and the league admits things like that. So I don't think it's any different in that regard. As far as the Packers go, I got to admit, I haven't noticed that I felt like they're getting away with stuff. I think offensive line holding is so bizarrely subjective. You know, it's like, okay, if I'm an offensive tackle, let's say I'm a right tackle and I'm blocking a guy, and Eddie Lacy's supposed to run between me and the right guard. And all of a sudden, Eddie Lacy takes it around the outside. My action was legal when he was behind me, and as soon as he goes in front of me, now all of a sudden I'm doing something illegal, which I haven't changed what I'm doing, you know what I mean? But because he's outside of me and I'm blocking this guy, now all of a sudden I'm doing something illegal. I just that part of the game just – it baffles me. I don't understand how my actions as a blocker can be legal, and then all of a sudden I'm not changing anything I'm doing, but because of the location of the running back, now it's illegal. So that's just my own side rant on the rules of this bizarre game that we all follow. But
we've been a little shorter rants this year, so we really do appreciate that.
I guess my long-winded answer, I haven't seen that. I have not seen anything that would lead me to believe that the Packers get away or have a – there's no Jordan rules for this. At least I haven't seen it.
All right. Super. Thanks. Jersey Al?
Yep. Rob, you wrote last week that Sam Shields had seen an outside concussion specialist to help determine the severity. Anything new to report in that front?
I mean, just what my colleague Adam Schefter reported on Sunday morning, that it was a positive visit and that, A, Sam Shields has no intentions of retiring, and, B, expects to be cleared within a few weeks. I know retirement has been, you know, a big topic. People think that he should, and, that's an incredibly personal decision. I would certainly never want to tell somebody, You should retire, you shouldn't retire. That's obviously up to the individual. But it sounds like Sam doesn't have any plans to hang it up. Now, you know, we could sit here and say, well, boy, that seems a little not smart given that he's had four concussions in the last 6 years or whatever you want to say. I mean, it's Sam's decision, and it sounds like he intends to play, and, you know, and it sounds like the Packers eventually will clear him. I think that's where we're at right now with that, Al.
Okay.
Okay, we're listening to Chiefs Head Radio. We're talking with Rob Domofsky of ESPN NFL Nation. Rob, one last question. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I think it's a question that's on everyone's mind. Where in the world did this run defense come from?
That's a great question, Jamie. I think, first of all, Mike Daniels is a tone setter. I mean, this is a guy who – look, we've all played sports. We've been in locker rooms with guys that you're like, is this guy really for real? You know, like, is it all talk? Is it all bluster? You know, can you really respect a guy who blabs? And, you know, Mike's a guy who talks a lot, but yet he commands the respect of people in the room, which is, I think, a rare quality. I think you got a lot of guys, a lot of girls, whatever the sport may be, that run their mouth a lot, and their teammates say, ah, this guy's he's a wacko. Well, Mike Daniels backs it up. And I think it's become sort of a mindset with him. And you know, he even said it, I think, this offseason, maybe even late last season, that we got to punch people in the mouth. We got to be nasty. And I, you know, it's a little bit like, you know, run defense is a little bit like rebounding in basketball. you just got to want to do it. You know, there's nothing sexy about rebounding. There's nothing spectacular about it, but you got to want to go do it. I think run defense is the same way. You got to want to do it. And they've got some guys up there that want to do it. LaTroy Guyon, I think he really likes doing it. I think Jake Ryan, Blake Martinez really like doing it. I don't know that Clay Matthews likes doing it that much. I mean, let's be honest. I don't know that he does, but he doesn't. If he's not playing inside, he doesn't have to do it that much. I think Nick Perry likes doing it. It's no knock on Clay Matthews. He's an unbelievable pass rusher, and he's made no secret about the fact that that's what he does best. So I think they've got enough guys. I think Ha Ha Clinton Dix has made himself into a good run player. I mean, as a rookie, I don't think he played the run very well. And you know what? I think he plays the run pretty well right now. So I think guys want to do it, and I think Mike Daniels deserves a ton of credit for establishing that mentality.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Rob Demoski of ESPN. Rob, thank you so much for joining us again here on Cheesehead Radio.
Well, my pleasure, guys. Hope everyone enjoys the bye week and is ready for what looks like is going to be a long stretch of games after the bye, 13 to finish the regular season, and I'm sure that everybody hopes much more than that.
Yeah. Luckily, we got all the injuries out of the way right away, so there won't be any more of this.
Oh, yeah. No more.
No more.
Won't happen. All right. Thank you, Rob, and hopefully
thanks,
we'll have
Rob.
You back again soon.
All right, we'll be seeing you guys. Take care.
Yeah, right, thanks so much. The great Rob Demoski.
Awesome.
Great.
Rob Demoski.
Love it.
So generous with his time.
We made him
generous.
That to me is
compliment.
A compliment.
Yep.
That's a win right there. I'm sorry. That was awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Oh, anything? Should we get around to final shots already? Do you have anything else you guys want to talk about?
I'm
down
final
for final shots.
Good. Yep.
Down to final shots. All right. I'm going to start out with Eddie Lacy. I'm happy to see him back. I'm happy to see him churning his legs and running people over. But I am concerned. And I think Bob McGinn alluded to it. And of course, it's Bob McGinn. But he's kind of analyzing and says, yeah, he's doing great. But really kind of made note that on the one play that he was charged with the sack on, didn't pick up the blitz, forced Rodgers to flee. And as he did, Lacy just kind of stood there and watched and mentions that there are other times he would just kind of walk off the field. Lacy has always given us the impression, as great of a player as he is and the impressive things he can do on the field, that he can be a bit of a laissez-faire kind of guy. I mean, if his head's not in the game that particular day, he doesn't have a great day. And we've seen that actually the past couple seasons. With this being a contract year, I'm right, aren't I? It's a contract year. Probably.
Yes.
Good. Yeah. You get concerned that some of this churning that he's doing is going to go well, and then they're going to resign him, and he's going to kind of go back to where he was the past season or two until he's properly motivated. Do you guys see a motivation? I guess I'm not seeing it as a problem or a red flag, but it's just that concern. And I think McGinn kind of notes it too, that, hey, maybe Eddie Lacy, he's playing well for his contract this year, and hopefully he can keep that up afterwards.
This was supposed to be a really quick shot, right?
Yeah, that was my quick shot.
Later,
I'm going to edit this, and I'm going to speed up my voice. It'll be awesome. It'll be like 5 seconds.
I must misunderstand this segment then. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we're only 45 minutes in, so we have more time. We don't really have any game predictions. So these are medium shots. Line them up. Do more than one shot today.
Jamie, do you have anything to say about that dissertation?
She's in awe. She's speaking.
Runs ball good.
Exactly. Yes. Carry ball. Move feet.
Guys are terrible.
Keep feet
guys
moving.
Are terrible.
Fat.
No, serious.
Okay.
Hey, torture you is having fun. Come on.
I'm going to go into my final shots.
Go for it, Jamie.
Well, keep it short.
And I was going to go into a whole little segue, but I didn't really know what to do my final shot on it. Bad weeks are kind of funny like that. And so I was sitting here during the show thinking, what am I going to do on Sunday? And then it dawned on me, I live in Cincinnati. It's normally on weekends that the Packers don't play or if they've got a Monday night game or a Sunday night game. I don't get to spend a lot of Sundays with my husband watching football because I'm usually doing the live blog, and that takes a lot of time before the game, and I just sit in my bedroom with the door closed watching the game. So it's nice to finally be able to get out and actually go to bars and or other people's houses and watch games with, like, people around. And I'm really excited because the Bengals don't play Sunday. They play tomorrow night. So I get to go out on Sunday, and I don't have to watch the Bengals play. So I am so excited for this Sunday. Y'all don't understand. Like, this is such a great bye week for me. Like, our players can get healthy. I can go out to a bar, and I don't have to watch the Bengals. I am a happy camper. And I know I've got some Bengals fan friends that sometimes listen to the show, so if they're listening, I'm very sorry. But some of y'all are difficult to take in public watching the game, so I'm excited.
Jersey L, what's your medium to lengthy shot this week?
Possibly quick shot, whatever. I just wanted to do a shout-out to Kyle and Wally, who put together the whole idea of Throwback Weekend and did such a nice job with it for a few years. They did decide that the days of Throwback Weekend are officially over, so they're not going to have it this year and not in the future. Obviously, it takes a lot of work, and you have to get a lot of people interested in doing it to make it worthwhile. So. But in any case, I just wanted to say thank you to Kyle and Wally out there for putting it together. It generated some great times and some great memories, and it's the type of thing that Packer fans do. I don't know that fans of other teams would do something like that. So kudos to them, and RIP Throwback Weekend.
Well, pour one out.
Absolutely.
Throwback Weekend.
Absolutely. It's sad. Too bad. It was a very good time.
Yep.
Yes. I liked their tweet, though. All good things must come to an end. And it was a very, very good thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Well, should we call it a night?
It's a night.
It's a night. Well,
okay.
Thank you all so much. Oh, I didn't know
Jamie.
If you were going to do it this week. Last week it said you and you didn't. Last week it said you
well,
and you didn't do it.
It should
so
say
I was
Jamie.
Going to do it.
Right,
yeah,
put your name in. It should say you, so go ahead.
Okay.
She does a better job.
Thank you all so much for joining us tonight. Let me say it.
Please.
Okay, third time's charm. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio. And a very special thank you to our great guest, Rob Domofsky. Make sure to head on over to PackersTalk.com, where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow @PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like page on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes. Just Google Packers Talk iTunes and you should find it. Be sure to subscribe and please leave us a review, a good one, if you can. You can also listen in by using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcasting app and search for Packers Talk. Finally, please, 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 please be sure to support our sponsor, the Ticket King, and make sure to use your code that Al mentioned at the beginning of the show. You can find them on the web at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That's a wrap. Go Pack Go and enjoy your bye week.
Go Pack Go. Good night,
good night, everyone. Thanks for listening, everyone. Go Pack Go. Good night.
Jimmy John's America's number one sandwich delivery fast at speaking. I'm on my way.
I'm in the backyard here, Ed.
Wow, you are fast.
Yes, sir. Freaky fast and freaky good. But I gotta say, I've never delivered to a dude in a doghouse.
Well, I'm definitely in the doghouse.
I thought in the doghouse was just an expression, a figure of speech.
Well, the doghouse is a very real place.
How long are you condemned to your canine quarters?
Too soon to tell, but on the bright side.
The doghouse has a bright side.
Yeah, the wife can't throw a lap this far.
Oh, I guess she's been working out.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's. Freaky fast. Freaky fresh.